Good morning. Hi, everybody online.
Good morning.
So this morning, I'm going to continue to talk about Inyo, the fascicle that Dogen wrote on suchness. And so here's the next part of the text. There's a verse that goes this way. If one falls down because of the ground, one gets up because of the ground. If one seeks to get up apart from the ground, it will never be possible. So the verse is, if one falls down because of the ground, one gets up because of the ground. If one seeks to get up apart from the ground, it will never be possible. So that's the first verse. Okay, so let's take a look at what this verse is about. It's a summation of a teaching about an encounter between a demon or Mara and Brahma, who is a Hindu god. After the demon had an encounter with one of our Buddhist ancestors. So the gist of this is, if you want to transform a problem, you have to, first step is you have to accept the problem. So if you fall down because of the ground or because of something you've done or some experience that you've had, the only way you can get up from that experience is to accept or investigate this experience in order to create transformation. So you make transformation through the problem. You are able to stand up because of the ground. And if you ignore this problem, if you ignore this, you will never be able to stand up. So you will never be able to get up apart from the ground. Okay, this actually sounds kind of like Western psychology, right? You know, got to get in there and tackle those problems and accept them. And as Pema Chodron says, start where you are, right? So this is something that we kind of all are familiar with. Dogen says something similar in Kato, which means twining vines. In general, although sacred beings all aim to learn the cutting of the roots of the complicated, so the complicated we can think of as being our problems. In general, although the sacred beings all aim to learn the cutting of the roots of the complicated, they do not learn that cutting means cutting the complicated with the complicated. And they do not know that the complicated is entwined with the complicated. Okay, so basically saying, you know, you don't learn that cutting through or working through or transforming your problems, these complications must be transformed through entering into the complications themselves. And you don't understand that these complications are entwined with complications. So here in Kato, generally Dogen's talking about the student-teacher relationship, but you know, we can also understand our problems as our teachers, right? Because if we don't have any problems, everything's hunky-dory, nothing phases us, it's all good. We get along with everybody all the time. We're happy, we have no suffering, we create no suffering. You know, it's like, so who needs practice, right? Who needs to worry about cutting the complicated with the complicated? But for most of us, our problems are our teachers. That's kind of the, you know, the grist for the mill. Or, you know, it's like when you put a pearl, how does a pearl develop inside an oyster? It develops because like there's this little piece of grit in there that's annoying the oyster. And what happens is that it creates this beautiful pearl. So we can think of these as, you know, our problems, and that our problems are teachers and we're the students. And the lesson is that we have to accept and investigate our problems. So we can't just cut them off. Much as we'd like to, we can't just cut them off. So this teaching is super important, I think, for everybody. And when we fall down because of the ground, in other words, we're stuck, we've done something that's unskillful, we're suffering, we have to look back at that time or that situation that created that suffering and try to understand and transform that through our understanding and ultimately transform our actions. So an alcoholic can't recover the suffering that's caused by their misuse of alcohol, unless, you know, they're willing to admit that they're an alcoholic. So we've all heard, you know, in AA, that breakthrough moment, person gets up and says, you know, I am an alcoholic. In Buddhism, we say, I am a foolish human being. So this, you know, willingness to acknowledge that there's a problem, and it is only through that acknowledgement that we can begin to alleviate the problems. But you know, Dogen being Dogen, he said, there is a further truth to be spoken about this verse. Okay, so that's what he said. So here's what Dogen's response to this verse is. He wrote his own verse in response. If one falls down because of the ground, one gets up because of the sky. If one seeks to get up apart from the sky, it will never be possible. If one falls down because of the sky, one always gets up because of the ground. If one seeks to get up apart from the ground, it will never be possible. So, okay, so I'll read Dogen's response. If one falls down because of the ground, one always gets up because of the sky. If one seeks to get up apart from the sky, it will never be possible. If one falls down because of the sky, one always gets up because of the ground. If one seeks to get up apart from the ground, it will never be possible. So that's Dogen's counter, if you will, or response to, or nuanced, more nuanced from his point of view, response to this original teaching. You know, Dogen does this a lot. And many, many of his fascicles are where he takes some kind of teaching in Buddhism. Like this verse, if one falls down because of the ground, one gets up because of the ground. A verse like that, and then he kind of elaborates on it and adds his own take on it. So that's what he's doing here. Okay, so the character in Japanese for sky is also the character for shunyata, or emptiness. Okay. So you may ask the question, well, why didn't Dogen just say emptiness instead of sky? Probably because he wanted to make a connection with the god Brahman, okay, because that was in the original story. And another reason is that the sky and the ground are opposite to each other, right? They're both part of our physical world, so they make a good juxtaposition to each other. So they appear to be opposites to us. Ground, sky, universal, particular, form and emptiness. But what they're actually pointing to is reality, just presencing. Okay, so ku, character translated here as sky. And by the way, this is the same thing as the fascicle kuge, which is flowers of emptiness or flowers in the sky. So ku, the character here, means sky, and it can, as I say, can be translated as shunyata, which is Sanskrit for suchness, emptiness, or emptiness, I'll reiterate, means empty of inherent existence. It doesn't mean nothing. It means that things are completely interconnected with other things, empty of inherent or separate existence. Okay, so sunyata is Sanskrit for emptiness. And another way to talk about this is to say things don't have a static existence, or not having an untethered life, if you will, separate from causal conditions. And these causal conditions are created by interbeing, interconnection, with everything else. So that's that tethering, if you will. And then also these causing conditions are always changing. They're always in flux. This inner penetration is happening constantly. You can think of it as a process. And we and all beings and everything that we can name, can't name, is part of this process. And it's the whole world manifesting and functioning. So that means that everything is relative and nothing is fixed. Everything is in this constantly changing process. It's like a mandala. Every person, everything is in community with each other and in communication with each other. So all of this is happening. So that's part of this understanding to say sky. And the more we talk about sky versus ground, there's this way that Dogen's trying to say it's more nuanced than this. So in this fast quote, Dogen does not deny the wisdom of the first verse. But he's saying, actually, there's more to practice than accepting your problems. There's more to the practice. It's more complicated. So we go back to kata, right? Complications. It's more complicated. So that points back again to kata. And in kata, Dogen says, you have to include all of it, not just your investigation of this problem or this thing. You can't separate it from the totality of your life and all of your relationships. So that's the complication, right? It's not simple. So our relationships are complicated. And even the most intimate and lasting relationships have up and downs, right? Friendships, long friendships, relatives, etc., partners. All of those things in the course of that, complications, problems. Also, I don't know about you. I mean, sometimes there's great times in our lives, right? No complications, no problems. But let's face it, you cannot go through life without what? Once a week, once a month, once a minute? You know, it's like there's a new complication. Something else is happening. So Dogen said, if you do not get up because of the sky, it will never be possible. So first of all, what does it mean to get up? So getting up is applying your practice to the problem. Getting up is applying what you know about reality through your practice. And to get up is to respond to your life's complications, to these relationships that may or may not be going well. I mean, in this case, complications, right? So Suzuki Roshi gave a couple of lectures on this text, and he particularly talked about this section of it. So a student asked Suzuki Roshi about this. He said, when I fall down on the ground, who is it that makes an effort to get up? That's a good question. Suzuki Roshi said, you are Buddha. So if it's just you that is making this effort to get up, maybe you're just approaching your kind of issues as fixed problems, separate from the reason for the problem. So I think of what he's saying here, he says, you, like that's kind of like the small self, like simple. And then when you add Buddha, because we, in a Soto Zen, right? We are all Buddha, we're all Buddhas. So we all have the nature of the mind of Buddha. When you add that, you add these complications. Now we have the sky added to that, right? So when he says you, maybe he's saying, are you approaching your issue as a fixed problem separate from these complications? Maybe you don't see the surroundings of this issue. You don't put it in the context of the rest of your life. So it means that when this problem arises from a different perspective, you might not see what needs to be done. I have to tell this little story. So at San Francisco Zen Center, lots of people come. And when you first go to a practice place, everything is wonderful. It's like everybody's nice, practice is great, everything's super. Because nothing's pushing on you, really. You've got all these fantasies about what's going on, so everything is great. And then after you're there for a while, especially if it's residential practice, after you're there for a while, you notice that there are people who put the milk carton back in the refrigerator with like maybe a tablespoon of milk in it. You start to notice those folks, somebody who, you know, doesn't like leaves just one little tissue square on the toilet paper roll and doesn't replace it. You start to notice that maybe your teachers aren't as so cool as you thought they were, you know, that they're not as wonderful and as enlightened as you thought they might be. And then you start noticing organizational problems, right? You know, it's like, what's wrong with this organization? What's up with this? You know, and then eventually you get kind of pissed off about the whole thing. And you realize that really this place is full of just a bunch of yahoos, you know, and it's really time to leave. You know, and then you decide, all right, I'm out of here. I'm going to go somewhere else where they do things better than they do it here. And then you go to another practice place and the same thing happens. I wonder what the common denominator is, right? So if you are just this one you, you might think never occur to you that there was a common denominator, and that common denominator was you, not outside yourself. Because everything's in this very narrow, fixed view. You don't kind of put together that you are, maybe there are variations on the problem, but you know something, it's the same problem wherever you go. So then Suzuki Roshi said, he said, "Are Buddha." So he's saying, you as Buddha. So he said, the way I understand this is you are Buddha. So when he said to think of yourself as Buddha, your Buddha mind, then you ask the question, how does Buddha mind respond? How does a Buddha mind respond to the situation? How does your Buddha mind respond to that situation? So that's the meaning of Dogen's verse. He talks about getting up using the sky. He's saying that as a Buddha, when we apply our practice, we understand that the problem is complicated. We understand that it's not just the other guy. We understand that our problems are interrelated and the whole, they include the whole of our relationships. And then when that happens, we can start to actually address the issue, approach a solution, engage in a kind of transformation as Buddha in the context of Ku, sky, or one seeking to get up by way of the sky as well as the ground. So that's what Dogen's pointing to here. Now, it could be in the original verse. It was implied, ground, sky, that's very Zen. But the original verse comes from a much earlier school of Buddhism, so maybe that wasn't what was being implied in the earlier school. But anyway, Dogen wants to make sure and clarify this point. Now, what does it mean when Dogen writes, if one falls down because of the sky, one always gets up because of the ground? That's interesting. So if we misunderstand, this is how I understand what this means. Because, of course, Dogen doesn't come right out and tell you what this means in the classical. But this is my understanding of what he's saying here. He's saying that if you think that ku or emptiness means that you're separate, that things are meaningless because we only understand things through the lens of no inherently existing self or no inherently existing dharmas, and we understand that to mean that there is no thing, then that's a problem. Okay, so that's falling down by the sky. We misunderstand the meaning of this. And so maybe your interpretation of this is that if you think you have a problem with someone, you say to yourself, well, this is empty of inherent existence, so it's not real. Therefore, I don't need to take care of this because it's not real. It's the other person's problem. And it's the other person who's caught by this, thinking that whatever's going on is real, right? So you absolve yourself of any responsibility through a misunderstanding of the doctrine of emptiness, that actually you might be part of the problem and part of the suffering and creating suffering. And I would say this is falling down because of the sky. So you don't understand the meaning of sky or shunyata or emptiness or lack of inherent existence. But what, when we say emptiness, what that actually means is that it means the word that we are completely twining vines. We are completely caught up in the complicated, especially in the relationships that we have. So if we think that we can disassociate from the suffering we cause or the suffering that we experience, then we need to go back to the first verse, which is use the ground to get up by the ground. And they kind of need to go back and look at that. All right, so Suzuki Roshi had a few other things to say about this verse, which I think are germane here. Okay, Suzuki Roshi said, ground is it. Okay, so inmo is also translated as it. It. Kind of things as they are, it. So Suzuki Roshi said, ground is it. You know, he always said it, you know, a lot. Whenever you read these books, people like edit them and stuff, all the you knows are gone. He would like start sentences and start words and stop words and say you know all the time. But anyway, just, he said, ground is it, you know. It means everything, not just ground. Your experience of practice should be always new and should always be it. It should not be some definite particular experience. There is nothing to rely on in practice. But on the other hand, there is always something provided by practice for you. Always. According to circumstances, you will have some aid to practice our way. So let me read that again to you. Ground is it. You know, it means everything, not just ground. Your experience of practice should be always new and should always be it. It should not be some definite particular experience. There is nothing to rely on in practice. But on the other hand, there is always something provided by practice for you. Always. According to circumstances, you will have some aid to practice our way. So that's what he says about this ground as it, as suchness. Okay, so he's saying that it or suchness, ku, is the same as the ground. So this is a very subtle statement that he's making here. The ground in the sky is what we use to get up by. The ground is this everyday life that we experience. It's the form of our life, right? It's what we're doing. And so is the sky, so is emptiness. Emptiness is also the form. Form is emptiness in the Heart Sutra, says. Form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Form itself is emptiness, emptiness itself is form. They're not separate entities. They are just two ways of talking about the same thing. So this is true for the sky and emptiness and the ground. And emptiness is our life as well. And that is what Suzuki Roshi is saying is it. So this it, our inmo, suchness, can't be a fixed thing. It can't be this or it can't be that. And here's the example that Suzuki Roshi gives. He says in this lecture, he said, we say it is 9 o'clock. And then we might say later, it is 12 o'clock. The it in both cases is flexible. The it, we might say, is time. Time is very flexible. Time, actually, in order to say it is 9 o'clock, the it and the 9 o'clock are actually quite complicated relationships. And they're not fixed relationships because they are completely dependent on other factors in order to arrive at this statement that it is 9 o'clock or it is 12 o'clock. And, you know, really, time, a clock time is quite arbitrary in on one level. Clock time is based on what's going on in the heavens. But actually, you know, our idea of clock time, like what time is 12 noon, has to do with railroad schedules. It doesn't, you know, and it has to do with the fact that the sun is directly overhead. That means it's noon, but every certain degrees, the noon changes, and it's small enough distance that you can't catch a train on time if everybody is looking up and going, it's noon, when the sun is directly overhead. And that was what started all of this. This is complicated, right? And then we have all this issue of atomic clocks and all this kind of stuff. So it is actually quite flexible, this thing that the it in this case is time. So you can't take it by itself. To say that it can be anything we designate depends on the use of the word it. So we designate something and call it it. So now the word is very mutable, and it's dependent upon the situation. So, you know, I can say this computer is it. And usually we don't talk about people as being it, but they're they or them or he or she. It becomes this very generic it thing that's all based on the context within which we say the word it, or we say the word they, or we say the word he, or we say the word she. So it's very mutable and dependent upon any given situation. So this it and how we use it, it's going to be totally determined by what it is that we're trying to express. And the situation in which we use it. So Suzuki Roshi says, brown, it, sky, we're all the same. We can't negotiate the world skillfully by thinking that it applies only one way. Right, so everybody with me? So we can't just designate something like that and say, oh, okay, now that applies to all situations. So that means that for the precepts, we can't say, don't steal, and apply it to every situation that we encounter. Sometimes it's appropriate to take something that someone doesn't want to give us. And how do we know when that is? How do we know? And we know it through practice. This is what Suzuki Roshi is saying. This Buddha mind has to be engaged. So that's why Suzuki Roshi said, there is nothing to rely on in practice. There's no hard and fast it that you can rely on in practice. In other words, you can't rely on just saying right across the board, never steal. And if we relied on do not kill, we would all starve to death. So there's nothing to rely on in practice, but on the other hand, there's always something provided for you. So this now becomes a koan, right? We talk about precepts are a koan. What does it mean to say, do not take what is not given? What does that mean? And so he said, but on the other hand, there is always something provided for you, always. According to circumstances, you will have some aid to practice our way. According to circumstances, you will have some aid to practice our way. So according to circumstances, we have this aid, this koan of what does it mean to say, do not take what is not given. How does that apply to this situation? And to you, that's our practice. I take refuge in Buddha, I take refuge in Dharma, I take refuge in Sangha. What does that mean? How does that work? So there aren't any big, hard, and fast rules in our practice. Rules are more like guidelines that give us an intellectual foundation to guide our actions as Buddhists, to guide our actions. And those actions are complicated. So the guide becomes, how do I include the totality of my experience, the totality of what's happening around me? How do I include it? How do I include sky? How do I include ground? How do I include you, me, Buddha mind? How do I include all of that? So we don't have any big, hard, fast rules, except maybe that. Maybe that's the big, hard, fast rule. How do I, you know, enter into the complicated of the twining vines of this relationship? So these are the guidelines that give us an intellectual foundation to guide our actions. So we can't rely on practice in the sense that we can't make up fixed rules about what that means. But it does, as he says, it is the foundation. It is the thing that we rest on, because the more we understand our practice, the more we understand the guidance and the foundation of it that we can rely on and rest in. So because we practice, we see Buddha, we see you, we see ground, we see sky, and we see it as one big functioning mandala of relationships. This is our guide. We use this as our guide. And then we have a much better chance of knowing what to do in any given situation. So there's this flexibility in there. And there's this way in which we can see the interconnectedness. We can see, like, for example, the one I gave about going to the Zen center. If we start to see that in a more flexible way, we start to understand something about our relationship to these complications and how we get up by using the complications. So we see all of that, all the complications of our particular circumstance, and we don't have to fall back on habitual fixed views. So this is the meaning of, according to circumstances, you will have some aid to practice our way, that Suzuki Roshi said, is we don't have to fall back on habit or fixed views. According to circumstances, you will have some aid to practice our way. So the first example, the first verse, is using the ground to get off the ground. And that's very good, solid advice. If you're confused about using the sky to get off the ground, you can just go to the first example, which is to look at and accept that we have to use our problems to get up from our problems. But if we keep practicing, then the second one, using the sky to get up off the ground, is automatically going to be incorporated into using the ground to get off the ground. Okay, as we keep practicing, we start to understand what it means to say, use the sky to get up off the ground. And it automatically gets incorporated into this notion of using the ground to get up off the ground, automatically through practice. It's like Zazen. You go, you sit Zazen, something magical starts to happen. You don't know exactly what it is. You have lots of ideas, right? Ideas. Oh, I'm not doing this. I'm thinking too much. I'm my legs hurt. I should be sitting a certain way. Da 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 da. Right. But the point is you just keep going. You just keep returning. It's kind of like that thing that Dogen talks about in Zui Monkey, where he says, you know, you walk through a field, we've probably almost all had this experience. You enter a field that's got dew on it, the grass, and you don't, you know, you don't think about getting wet, but when you get to the other end of the field, you realize, my gosh, my pants are wet all the way up to the knees after having walked through this field. So it's like that. So then we have ground is sky and sky is ground. It is always sky, ground, you, Buddha, you. Everything is already there. Everything is already present. But perhaps it's not apparent to us. So don't worry. If you keep at it, you will understand that if you want to get such a thing, you should be such a person. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? Thank you very much.